Welcome back, everybody, and welcome if you're just joining us. My name is Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on Civic Media Radio Network. Well, throughout southeastern Wisconsin and certainly here in Milwaukee, it has been a brutal weather weekend. Many people across the city experiencing extraordinary flooding. The Brewers, and we'll get to the Brewers and the miracle that's happening in Milwaukee later in this program, they kept the game going yesterday, but they had to shut down various entry points. In fact, all of Miller Parkway, that connection point on our expressway system, was flooded. I've been hearing from teachers and friends of mine across the city all day about flooding events, feet of water in basements, sump pumps, you know, blown water heaters and all the rest of it to help us understand what happened this weekend, our emergency responses, and how to keep your family safe when we have these sorts of weather emergencies and other disasters. We've got my friend and now yours, Aaron Lipsky. Thanks so much for being here, Chief Lipsky. We really appreciate you. Thank you for everything you did for the city this weekend.
I really thank you for having me, and I really, really appreciate your focus on what can we do moving forward to keep everyone safe and help speed the recovery along?
Yes. So let's just start with the basics. What's the status this afternoon, Monday afternoon? Do we have full power restoration? Any residents or homes, areas of the city of Milwaukee that are still without power? You know, what was the status? How many deployments did you guys have to make? Were there rescues that had to be executed this past week? Tell us about where we are today and what MFD did for the citizens and residents this past weekend.
Yeah, for sure. So starting right towards the end of that Brewers game you referenced, rain that far outpaced the amounts anybody expected, and certainly the length of time and repetition of these storms that just hovered over all of southeastern Wisconsin. I don't want to say it caught us off guard, but we get very regular prompts from the National Weather Service, and we pay a lot of attention to those. We all knew it was going to rain. I don't think anybody knew it was going to rain that sustained for that long. As soon as it happened, we kicked into gear with a whole bunch of stuff that probably doesn't seem too flashy or exciting, but we switch our entire mode of communicating and deployment because we know with these things it is going to be a numbers game, for instance. Whereas somebody may just occasionally call 911 because they or somebody they observe is having an emergency. In these situations, we know an entire city block or neighborhood or neighborhoods are going to be impacted and are going to be calling.
Yes.
And so instead of the normal one-off model where we jog out and go sort out the problem right away, one for one, we go to a task force model so that we group some of our resources together, and they become the sole responders for some of the non-life critical responses. And this keeps the rest of our resources available for the life critical. And it was a system that worked very well for us when this really kicked off. But even at that, we were completely outmatched for a long time. I would say that entire overnight. We had calls holding, and the fire department does not like holding calls. We don't like waiting until we have enough resources. So we activated the mutual aid box alarm system. It's called MABUS for short. And we requested help from anybody that could send from our surrounding counties. And every county responded. We had Racine, we had Waukesha, Washington, Ozaukee County, sent full complements on rigs, ready to
go.
Fire apparatus, ladder, fire engines, ladder trucks, paramedic units, BLS ambulances. It was incredible to see. And I can't thank those folks enough, but it was a real story about like cooperation and figure it out. And, I just can't thank them enough. But, what we were dealing with was a whole smorgasbord of different response types. All of the regular stuff that would normally happen on any given day, and I'd remind you that we are busier now than at any point in the fire department's history. All that stuff continues despite or with no regard for the fact that we're also experiencing a historic, you know, rainfall and flood. So yes, people still have heart attacks. People still crash their car. People still, you know, there's still people do things to each other. People fall downstairs. All those things still happen. People have, I don't want to say a regular house fire, but the day-to-day stuff still goes on. Now, on top of that, you're sitting on, you know, 12 different requests for water rescue. And then all of a sudden you're sitting on 25 requests for water rescue. And then on top of that, you're sitting on 55 calls for electrical trouble or 30 calls for water leaks. And I don't know if those are the exact numbers, but it's not far off. And if we don't methodically start weeding those out, it could really turn the whole system into turmoil. So we manage how we're going to deploy, and we access as many additional resources as we can, which does take time. They got to drive from here to there or there to here. They got to, you know, these other fire departments, we got to quickly learn each other's language, and fire service is really good at that. But
yes,
we had between about 8 p.m. and 7 a.m. that first night, Saturday night, we had, I think it was a total of 614 individual calls that we responded to. And that is unheard of. That is
unheard of.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know that we've had another point in our history. And I was a battalion chief out in the field during the 2010 floods. I thought those were horrific. And I was a firefighter for the ones a number of years before that where Pigsville went underwater down just northeast of Amfan Field.
Yep.
And I was around for those things, and that seemed like, how could this happen? That's crazy. And there have been a ton of improvements made to infrastructure and bioswales and these huge bowls that they kind of construct in the middle of, I don't want to say the middle of nowhere, but
like big open spaces. Yep. And the green spaces, the bioswales, tell people what those are. If you're driving around, I've had people ask me and I'm like, oh, that's a bioswale. Yeah. And then I start explaining, but you tell people what the bioswale is and why it's important for flood abatement and risk management.
Perfect. And I got to tell you, if you told me I'd be talking about bioswales, you know, 15 years ago, I'd have laughed at you.
What?
No, right. But it's a thing. And so this is what it is. It's instead of just having, say, a boulevard in the middle of, you know, the traffic lanes on a street, instead of just having flat grass, they build basically a bowl structure. And so it could be a rectangular bowl, an oval, a circle, you know, but it's essentially a large depression.
Yes.
And it just acts as a rain catch. And what it allows to happen is instead of all of, you know, and these can hold hundreds or thousands of gallons of water depending upon the size. Instead of having that all over the road and creating flooding, it can store it. And at the same time it's storing it, the water is able to get through the permeable soil and or gravel that's underneath that so that it can process into the subsurface without having to go and add to the overwhelming of the storm sewer system.
The sewer system. Really, like, and this is why the brilliance of the bioswales. We could do a whole thing on this, Chief.
For sure.
Because it allows, it basically is a filtration system. You have root growth. You have these small, again, like stones that it all filters through. It slows the water down. It has incredible capacity. It absorbs it, and it doesn't go into our deep tunnel sewer, which needs to hold the sewer water.
That's right.
It's hugely helpful. So, folks, look around your neighborhoods. If you're driving around the city of Milwaukee, keep your eyeballs out for what will look like a beautiful little area of high grasses, perhaps cattails.
Yes.
And that's part of those bioswales. Most of them are signed here in the city, but we've got them in my neighborhood. They're essential. With the time that we've got left, Chief Lipsky, and again, folks, if you're just joining us, we've got Milwaukee Fire Chief Aaron Lipsky with us. We're talking about the flooding over the weekend. What are things that families can do Let's start with a single family home. And then I do want to talk about multi-unit and apartment living, because it's how you respond to this kind of stuff can be a little different. But let's just talk about a family and a house. All of a sudden, they can't drive out. Their street is flooded. They've got water coming into their house. What should people do?
So it's, you know, everybody has a different threshold for what overwhelms, right? And
yes.
And you know, as firefighters, what may overwhelm somebody, you know, a non-firefighter, those can be two different things, and that's all just based on experience, training, perhaps equipment, and you know, the mechanisms to put it all into play. So I say that to say that even amongst civilians, there's different thresholds. And, you know, let's just take this as an example. We have a senior citizen who has mobility issues and lives alone, has no family nearby. And all of a sudden, now they're looking at water up on their front porch and their basement is flooded to the top cinder block. That might be very, very different than a 32-year-old able-bodied, you know, construction worker who is adept at like putting into play things to get them fixed, pumped out. Like that doesn't have access to those things. So those two folks might have very different needs. But I want to just stress, perhaps they have the exact same needs, right? I'm not trying to make caricatures out of all these different characteristics whatsoever, but I just want to highlight that some folks are just going to need more help. And what I would encourage is, if you've reached your threshold and you think you are possibly in danger, call 911. And if we come out there, and I told you about our task force model for this circumstance, if we come out there and it's not that big of an emergency, well, then that's fine. Then you know what we do? We handle whatever we can handle. We communicate with you, reassure you if that might be what you need, and we move on. And so, yeah, I would encourage people, first and foremost, never be afraid to call 911. We now, in this stage, I want to just point out, we have 211 active, and 211 is going to allow for a much more comprehensive conversation about your specific resource needs. If you need housing, you need food, you need, hey, can I go back in my house and get my medication? Hey, is there, who went in my house and put the fire out? You know, like I don't even want to call them weird questions. They're just the reality of life after an emergency. There are more questions.
People trying to figure stuff out. Yeah, that's 211, right, Chief?
That's correct.
211. And I think, go ahead.
That goes right into the nerve center of the Emergency Operations Center that Milwaukee County has established, which all agencies, all municipalities, everybody who has any stake in being able to help with this is connected. So that's why it's so important to push those non-emergency calls to 211. But if anybody has any doubt and they think it's very time sensitive or they're at risk,
call 911.
Never hesitate. Call 911. Our feelings aren't hurt if it's not an emergency. We're happy if it's not.
Folks, I hope you join me in thanking everyone at MFD and especially MFD's Chief Aaron Lipsky for being with us this afternoon. We've got the head of Milwaukee County's Emergency Management Department. We'll talk about 211. We'll talk about how they continue the recovery after, right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Keep it locked.